It's been a while. Hello and welcome to the Robot Dice Explosion Podcast. I'm Ben. I've got James and Graham with me.
Hello.
Hi.
We're in a car. So we are driving back from the UK Games Expo 2023, where we did the Bushido Masters and some other bits. We're gonna do the usual thing of, like, you know, what our list is, what we hope it'll do, and then what our list did and how upset we are about that. But this time we didn't do any recording before the event, so it's all just going to be a bit of a retrospective. And also, we're probably going to keep it a little briefer than we used to. We'll see what happens. Shall I start?
Alright,
cool. So what I'll say is, like, I'm not going to go blow for blow on games and, you know, who I played, what I played against too much. Check out Longshanks, you can see what we did there. Graham is Old Boots. I think James is just James G.
James G.
And I'm Ben Calvert-Lee. So there you go. I took Ito using the Blessed theme. And, I took a bunch of Heavy, so I took Ayako. That's a good start. No, I didn't take Ayako. I took Akane, Azami, and then I took Akimoto, Nayako, Kyu, Sakura, and a little shrine to Orochi. I stuck, Impetuous on three of my non-impetuous models, so I was rocking up with five Impetuous 1 models. And I put the Beneath the Skin enhancement on Kyu and Akane. Azami comes with it, and Akimoto comes with it, and Nayako is already Fear 6, but no Terror. So my general plan was to sort of go, wugga wugga wugga, I've got lots of movement. And try and poison you a little bit. I took Yankee as well. Forgot him. And he was great. Love Yankee. 10 rice. Useless in first turn, but that doesn't matter. Risky in the second turn because he's only melee skill 2. But he's got brutal 2, so if someone is, like, exhausted, it's worth a punt. I lost 0-3, then I drew 1-1 and drew 1-1, and then I won 1-0 against Colin. Thank you very much, Colin. He still hasn't beaten me at a tournament. That's hilarious. I put Uwabami's Tooth on Yankee so I could once per game re-roll a damage roll. You don't need to do that. Yeah, I mean,
Once per game,
it's a one rice card. You discard it, and you can re-roll a damage roll against your opponent. I quite like it for ranged, actually. If you put it on, like, on a basic archer, like, because Kaihime, you probably want to put, like, Hote's Coin on it, or whatever. But for one rice, because ranged attacks generally are low success level, if you then also roll a lower than average damage roll, It's one of those activations that feels like a bit of a sort of wet fart. So it's nice to have it for that situation. I put it on Yankee as, like, a little, like, well, I've got rice, why not? He doesn't need the help. The success levels he's going to get most of the time, if you're using him right, because of brutal, you're just not going to need to make your damage rolls good. And he's also got combo attack 0. So, you know, you turn 3... 3 melee skill, but you're probably able to boost that because you generated 3 key and you're brutal 3.
He's the snake basket guy.
Yeah, snake baskets.
Windmilling them around. Right?
Yeah, he's got combo attack 0 and he's got last stand. So if you take like a couple of wounds, then you're not going to make it past turn three because of the way he works. Best case scenario, he makes it to turn four, but he definitely will die by the end of turn four. So yeah, just it's not worth having Uwabami's tooth on him. So I've got some things I would rework about the list. The thinking behind Beneath the Skin is that it's nice to have the option to bring out some Fear 6 and Terror. You can use it defensively. If someone with fear is coming out, you know, is attacking you, you can just sidestep the need to take that test and become frightened. You can also use it aggressively, so you go into someone and you hope that they will fail that fear test. And then, you know, you're at an advantage. So, yeah, good in that way, but both Akane and Kyu, I often find they don't use their key, especially Kyu in The Blessed, because he starts it with four. He's not even going to have a chance to use any of it until turn two, at which point he used to be capped at six, now he's capped at eight. But he can't channel. So what's he doing with that key other than boosting melee? No one ever moves into Q because that's when he gets to do his good stuff with his key. So I was like, I need a way for him to be a bit more useful, a bit more offensive, while still helping out Sakura with her opposed tests. But I think that worked, actually. I would take Impetuous off him. I didn't find it there was that much of a problem, but I'd probably just stick it on Yankee. I started the game with like 8 Blood of Orochi, so that's handy. I actually found that I couldn't couldn't really hand it out in a useful way at times, because Q, and I didn't realise this, Q has poison 1 too with his snake. That's like really good. He's combo attack 1, so like you have to pay out the key, but then he can really deal out some poison. But you just have to be more aggressive with him. And the feeling I've always had is like, well, his key feats are like reactive defensive things. In fact, one of them is what, push attack 0 or something.
This is the guy with the big snake that goes.
Big snake wrapping around him. Yeah. Okay. So like that's really quite situational.
Yeah.
And Tail Whip is amazing, but you have to have people actually going, yes, I will walk into Q, who has more than like has 2 key or more. Well, he's going to. So I'm going to just take that automatic stun. Well, no one's going to do that unless they really have to. So you either have to put him in a position where people have to engage him. And okay, you've got movement 5, so all right. Or you could do something more proactive with him. So the fear allowed me to like feel better about being more proactive with him. Putting him into combat against someone who's frightened. Yeah. He became pretty good. I was still able to keep him within 3 inches of Sakura, mostly. And she would stay within 3 inches of the Shrine to Orochi. So that worked quite nicely. I was winning most of my opposed key tests, obviously like vast majority of them being 2 dice plus 2 to the result.
Is that what the Shrine does?
The Shrine counts as a Shisai for the purposes of unique effects. And the unique effects that Shisai, except for Q and Kinu, unless you pay for her upgrade, have is that they gain willpower X and resistance X, where X is the number of other Shisai within 3 inches to a maximum of 2. I think it's a maximum of 2, actually, I'm pretty sure. So basically, you kind of want to rock 3 Shisai at the same time, but then doing that is a nightmare because you've got, what, 13 rice, 14 rice, and then the next cheapest one is Kinu, but then she doesn't do it, so you have to upgrade her. So you're probably going to take Ayako, who's amazing, but 20 rice, and yeah, blah, blah, blah. So the Shrine is a 2 rice piece of terrain, which allows you to sort of sidestep that a little bit.
It's a very nice shrine you had as well.
Thank you very much. That will be available on mastercraftofminiatures.com in the near future. Might make the STL available for that, so you know, as a test.
Yeah, looks very nice, guys. You should check it.
Yeah, do that. I don't really know. Like, it sort of did what it says on the tin, unlike our previous tournament, my list actually did what I expected it to do. I just didn't do very well, and I think there's a couple of things I would tweak about the list. So I'd take Iwobami's Tooth off Yankee. I might actually give him Vial of Raijin's Breath, because then it's very possible that he's only going to do two things in turn three and then die. Vial of Raijin's Breath would allow you to ensure that he does at least one of the things you want him to do, because he can just go there and do it.
Yeah.
And he will have a key to drop one key and still have plenty of other things to do with that key, so fine. Especially where he can also pay three key to charge for a simple. All of a sudden his threat range is absolutely ridiculous. And I'd probably stick Impetuous on him just because he's a viable person to put it on. You know, Impetuous, you just have to activate first. And quite often with him, I was just... I might wait, or I might walk forward a little bit, but I'm not necessarily putting myself in a bad position. The other changes I'd make, I think, yeah, Q works really well with the... I can't remember what the upgrade's called again. Beneath the Skin key feat. It's Beneath the Skin is the upgrade, which gives you the Orochi's Visage key feat, which allows you to be Physics and Terror. I think I might give him the Muramasa Edge, which is three rice, the sword, which is bleed 1/1, so it doesn't have the poison 1/2, which the Muramasa Blade does. But that's okay, I've got the poison on the snake, so it gives you combo attack 0, plus 1 damage, where the snake is minus 1 damage. So just give him another option to be a bit more attacky, I suppose. I'll try it out. It's quite expensive, is the problem. The other thing I'd like him to be able to do is boost his movement, but you can't, unless you're a samurai, buy the serpentine armor, so it's not an option. But I think that's like most of the tweaking I do. I was pretty happy with it overall. I could toy with putting Yui in instead of Akane, maybe.
Yui's the Shiga.
No, Yui is the 40 mil based Hebi Mimen. So she's got two swords. So she comes with combo attack 0, and her key feat is detect. So I didn't come up against anyone who I needed to detect. If I had done, I might be talking more about Yui, perhaps. But she's a solid choice. The reason I didn't have her in was just like she was a medium base, so she just gets shot easier. Sort of the only thought I put into it. She's got a key feat which is used slightly more than Akane's skewer, which is really situational but pretty cool. Nayako did her job, you know, blinding people. Akimoto, I want to say he always underperforms, because like the amount of success level 0 spits I got off, which doesn't put any poison on people, and then it's only poison 1, so if anyone's got tough, you're out of luck. But he's 6 rice, so...
Is that what he's up for?
Yeah, he's 6 rice. And, you know, every other turn he can have Fear 6 and Terror. I actually threw him into a melee in my last game and popped the Terror, and, you know, he held his own and just sort of prevented Colin for sort of moving around and doing opposed key feats for a bit, so that was kind of nice.
Oh, yeah, for 6 rice, that's...
So for me, the spitting is kind of like a bit of a bonus, and I don't use it to hurt people. I usually use it in combo with Sakura, where she will put out, up to like 3 poison 2 markers on an opposed key test. And then I will spit at the same person with Akimoto, who will then load them up with a bunch more poison 1s, which means that they have to keep removing poison 2s until there are only 2 counters left, or markers. So that means you basically can get all of those poison 2s to happen in one turn, on one end phase. Whereas otherwise you'd have to have the other Shisai who can accelerate venom and get people to resolve the poison mid-turn.
Yeah.
But Akimoto's six rice, shit at shooting, but he's not insignificant, I don't think. So, it's a pretty viable way to do it.
Yeah.
And I actually did a fair few wounds on Eldest Brother by loading him up with poison three. Off the back of, like, I think some combo attack with the Blood of Orochi. The Blessed allows you to have one person with poison 1-3. And get them all to, like, kick off in the end phase by loading them up with a bunch of poison 1. He's tough, but then also I think he was tough 2 because he'd Oni Raged. So I only actually ended up taking off, like, 3 wounds instead of 6. But hey, you know, it's an option. If someone's got tough 1, it's quite a nice way of forcing through those wounds. In my last game, it was my last game, I killed 2 of the Void Monks in one end phase through poison, basically by just loading up on poison 2s and 1s and forcing through the 2s. So, quite effective. I think I hadn't played Bushido since January, and I hadn't played this list before. I played like a sort of distant cousin of this list, I suppose, and Ferrum before, but I hadn't run Yankee before. He's an MVP. He deleted Eldest Brother and Hirato 1 hit each in the same turn, and then he died. Oh, and I had the special card, which is like, one of your friendly non-soulless, non-animal, non-insignificant models dies, gain a scenario point. Well, of course, if you know Yankee's going to die, you're getting a scenario point off him. It's probably turn 3 that he's dying, probably, and you'll have other models die in turn 3, probably, knowing me.
Standard.
So you get just got like a few bonus scenario points. That was nice. Oh, I dropped Dark Secrets, which I did take. I took it because it's decent.
Oh, I can't believe you got Dark Secrets too.
Yeah, but we only get one, whereas you can have as many as you like. You could have a sideboard of 15 Dark Secrets.
I'm tempted to work out a list where it's just like 30 rice worth of Dark Secrets.
Well, I'm tempted to slap you, but you know. that was it was good fun. I enjoyed playing all of my opponents, especially Colin. Thank you, Colin. And the rest of my show we can talk about after you guys have blathered about your lists for a bit. Yeah.
Do you want to go next?
Yeah, I'll go next.
Let's pass it on to James G.
Yep. So I took Cult. The main plan was to take the skeleton list. So all but one of the skeletons. So not the, I think it was the warriors. No, the guard skeleton, mainly because I summoned on the first turn.
Okay, so that's the spear one, isn't it?
Yes. Yeah. So also took Akuba, so she could summon that skeleton. She had fearsome presence to try and keep her alive because obviously you don't want her dying. Sacrificial knife.
That person is a crazy person.
Yeah.
Please continue.
So since I did take it in theme, I could take the rats, which I can obviously then sacrifice. So I took 2 of those rat swarms. And for Arcaden, because even though she's been errated, she's still really amazing. So that was my first list. And that was really all I mainly wanted to play, but I thought, well, take strategic deployment just gives me an option to take something else. And my second list was a bit of a silly one. It was the Wrath, who's amazing. Tenbatsu, again, who's just amazing, and that's half my rice gone. And then I just filled it up with the 2 lone swordsmen, Gaki and Ibra, with Ijimo's mask. So it was 2 big heavy hitters and a couple of support models just to try and do objectives. I used the skeleton in 3 of the games. Mainly it was a case of I asked opponent, well, do you have any combo attack? If they didn't, or not many, I took the skeletons. If they did, I took the other lists. So I had one against
What were your results then?
My results, I lost the first 2 games quite badly, and I won the second 2 games really well. I find the skeletons either work really well because people can't deal with them, because if they don't have a lot of models or a lot of combo attack, you just really can't kill them at all.
Yeah, they do sound like they'd be really annoying to play against.
Yes, yeah, that's why I found strategic deployment really good, because any lists which you can't use them with very effectively, you just take something else. So in the future, I think I might just drop the silly list and try and come up with something else to pair them with.
Which it's going to be fucking Kairai, isn't it?
I think it's going to be Kairai, probably Gok. Might take the Desecrated Grave to give them the extra deployment, and then just various other Kairai, because obviously they don't care about combo attack, and it annoys people, that list.
Yep.
It does. You seem to put together a lot of annoying lists.
Yeah.
Why is that, James?
Because it's funny.
I think this says a lot about you as a person.
Yeah. the biggest problem, so the first game, which it was a 2-1 loss to me, it might have been different if we actually finished the game, but the problem with the list I've been taking is they've always got like 9 models at tournament settings.
What list did you have for the first one?
So the first one was
Skeletons or the...
Oh yeah, I used the skeletons, yeah. I had 9 models. Yeah, some of them die, but then I summoned other models in.
Yeah.
And that was against the the Wolf Clan.
Yeah, well, the Tanakas.
So he had a couple of combat attacks, but a lot of them were sort of combat attack ones. So
he's not using
them. Not as likely to use them. And we just got to turn 3. So we had 1 scoring turn, and then we scored the last turn on when the game finished. So it was a bit harsh, because I might have pulled on a 2-1 win, but who knows. But it's just the lot of models in a tournament. So if I take Kairai, again, it's 8-9 models in a list. Yeah. It's hard to get through to potentially in the later scoring rounds.
That's if you don't face Kairai with Kairai, for instance.
If you're playing or any other Horde army, you'll never get very many turns. And I think most of the missions we played were scoring...
The first two games were variable 5, so they could end in turn 5 or they could go to turn 7.
Yeah, but
the second two games were ending in turn 6, but scoring later, I think.
I think one game there was a scoring on turn 2, as like evenly through the game, but the other ones all seemed to be very late scoring.
Yeah.
The final one was 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah, so obviously not getting through the games, it can sort of hurt a list which is doing really well.
Death pile list, yeah.
But your opponent just happens to get the odd points. But it's the risk of taking certain lists at tournaments. So that was that. So that just came down to, I think, the first game was, well, maybe the game would have turned differently if we had a bit longer to play. But
yeah.
Second game was against Temple with the Foxes. That one I took my alternative list because obviously. The Foxes, they've just got so many combat attack zeros and...
Oh, they're shredded.
Even then, I got picked off. So he had the ranged one, so he killed Wrath in turn 2. I sort of expected that was going to happen, because if you're fighting him, you've got to shoot him.
Yeah.
The Lone Swordsman got really screwed over. He had the... I can't remember, it was the one, the sort of sorcerer with the staff held in the air.
The fox one,
yeah. Yeah, I can't remember his name.
He's
got the ability where if he opposed Tifi, if you don't do a focus, then you get controlled.
Okay.
He did it on the low swordsman, and they got to do the same action. Yep. So he took he basically took those out for the entire game.
Yeah.
And then he just sort of steamrolled the rest of my force. So that was the 3-0. The third game, well, that was against an opponent who was upset most of the game.
I wasn't upset, I just didn't take my pro plus and I was in a grump.
So that was against Graham. I don't know if we want to go for that later, we can talk about both of it. And the last game was against a shooting prefecture. So I took the skeletons again on that, and with Breath of Yuri and Fuar being able to make people blind, I shut down all the shooting, and he didn't have enough models to sort of outnumber the skeletons, so they just kept on going all attack, maybe take two wounds back over a turn, yeah. But I was just able to just kill things quickly. I don't think anything died in that game at all, apart from the rats, which I killed myself. So that ended up with the 3-0. So I think overall they came 17th, so mid-table, pretty happy with.
Yeah.
So yeah, the game against Graham, I think it was another great matchup for me, because again, you didn't have any combo attack.
No.
So you can't get to your struggle to kill the skeletons.
Yeah.
Still possible, because you can outnumber them, but I guess
you had
Manu to knock people over, which the skeletons can't be knocked over.
Can't be knocked over. So you just, I thought I'd run in and throw them around, and it did fucking nothing.
Yeah. So
immune.
Yeah, being immune to all states is just.
Yeah.
There's the obvious ones which are amazing. Like you can't be controlled. You can't be.
Yeah, obviously the control. Yeah, the dark secrets and key tests that I could put out.
Yeah,
there
can't
one
be
a person on the board they'd work against, and she's just pissed off at the back.
Yeah, so yeah, you can't. Yeah, key tests are immune to, but it's just it's little things like they can't be knocked over, they can't be poisoned, they can't have any of these for fire bleed. So it's like if I went up against you, Ben, again, they would be probably really good because.
Main
damage dealing, which wouldn't work.
I could definitely crunch a couple of them with Yankee, but obviously that's turn 3 or 4.
He had combo attack, isn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. So again, yeah, anyone who's got combo attack.
Yeah. So I've got two combo attackers. One is Q, and he has to pay for it. So he wouldn't, I obviously wouldn't be trying to poison you. Other than trying to go after what's her name,
Akuba. Well, so my plan on her was to pretty much stay right at the back of the map the entire game. I maybe went over a bit aggressive with her a couple of times, but usually by that point I was sort of dominating the game anyway. So she was moving up and firing off a few of her shooting attack and. Few chaos bolts here and there, just to add a few.
Chaos bolt is still horrible.
Yeah, 3 points is expensive.
Is it?
Oh, it is also because if I put up
three wounds, mate.
If I put up Breath of the Yuri as well, you've got to spend another one since you've got 6 cents, so she can actually shoot or do it. So it's for 4 key, and the problem with only having her in the list. You're not generating much key at her.
Yeah, that is true. I mean, Colin was rocking all three of the Yuta, and he had Yu-Gi-Oh! With his Desecrated Shrine, so that reduces the cost of key feats by one.
Yeah.
I was going to say, if you've got Pop Believers or something.
Yeah, it's just that. But
yeah.
He Chaos Bolted someone twice, and then played Crush the Oppressed, which doubles all tokens on all markers, I suppose. So I went from taking like 3 wounds in the end phase to taking, what is that, like 6. Yeah, it doubles it because you'd be left on 2 of each of them. Well, no, it doubles the number of tokens, but you keep removing tokens until you only have 2 left. So in that situation, did double the damage I was taking, but it wouldn't always. So yeah, that was pretty horrible.
Yeah.
Did kill one of his own though, because I poisoned them.
Yeah. So using the witches in a group of threes, I've done that before on a tournament doing that. But so using them on our own was a bit of a, wasn't 100% sure it would work. But thankfully, the fact that you can take the sacrificial knife in a non-theme, and then obviously the rat swarms are things you can kill with it, and being only 2 points each, I didn't have enough to buy all 3 rats. So I was only doing it on the first 2 turns. And the first turn I was then using all my key to summon the extra skeleton. So second turn I was again up to 6 key. She didn't do a huge amount, but she was there to potentially put out the darkness again if there was a lot of shooting, so I could sort of shut that down.
How much is she?
15 out of theme, because you get one reduction up by one.
I mean, 15 to be able to, like, okay, so you can throw Chaos Bolt about, or you can summon in a skeleton and they're a pain in the arse, or you can put Darkness out. I mean, that's pretty good.
Oh,
in isolation still.
Yeah, oh, she's still good, yeah. If you take the assumption of, well, she's 15 points, but you're summoning in a 10-point model, that takes it down to 5, but you've then got to buy Sacrificial Knife for 2 and a couple of rats, so that's an extra 6 points on top of that.
Mm.
She's not cheap, but the fact that she gives regeneration 1 to all the skeletons,
yep.
That's why. Huge. That's the only reason she's there. You could easily take the skeletons without her,
yep.
But with only a single regeneration, they would probably go down. It'd take a couple of turns, but they would definitely die.
Yeah,
I think I lost. I don't even think I lost any skeletons the entire game. The entire tournament, I mean.
Yeah.
They're
almost not worth it unless you've got combo attack. And you were like, well, if you've got combo attack, then
I'll take the other
one. Or if you've only got one or two combo, then Frog goes after them.
Yeah.
Either makes them blind to reduce their dice, or even better, if you can get the ire off on them, they're attacking their own models.
Yeah.
You might then either just engage it with Fra, or just take the one hit on combo attack, put everything in defense. You might take a couple of hits, but if it's a success 2 and a 0, you're probably not going to take more than one wound. And if you do happen to go down to the 2 wounds on the basic skeletons, just send someone else in to exhaust that person, and you're fine again.
Yeah.
So I think if they become a bit more commonplace, will realise more that, yeah, you've got to gang up on them.
Yeah.
And the list will then start struggling. But
I'm sort of the mind already, or I was already, that, like, I always try to have one model with combo attack, but also I take Ito, and it's quite accessible, combo attack with Ito, so, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, because the last game I had, I think the guy really struggled to get his head around how he deals someone with durable.
Yeah.
So he would only send in a single model into a skeleton, and I would just be keeping on going full attack.
Yeah.
I might not kill him, but I'm going to take a couple of wounds off, and I'll suffer a couple of wounds back, but then I'll just heal them all up.
Yeah.
So
mostly you're happy with the skeleton list.
I think I don't think I'll change the skeleton at all.
The silly list is to be redone.
Yeah, the silly list was. Was a bit of a last minute. What do I just take? And what a couple of models do I just fancy just trying out as a pair? Because
I mean, respect for taking strategic deployment. Honestly, like, I think it's a good theme, but you really do need to think a lot about both lists, don't you?
Yeah,
and how they
how different the enough, go. And who's going to cover.
Yeah, I think you pick a list which can do something, but may have some glaring problems. But then the other list, you just make sure that those varying problems don't affect them as well.
Yeah.
So it's why, if I don't go over to the Kairi list, they'll still struggle against something like the Inari, because obviously they've got tools to take out Kairi. But pretty much anyone else will struggle against a horde of 6, 7, 8 skeletons, which start the game halfway up the board.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Cool. So we'll have to play some more Bushido and actually iterate on our lists, I guess.
Well, yeah, some practice games would have been really useful.
Standard
issue.
It's fine.
Is that you done?
I think that's me done, yeah.
I'm dragging off. Right, I took Silver Moon with absolutely no preparation. Last tournament, I took a Roses theme list, which you may or may not find out about if and when that podcast ever comes out.
Well, we only recorded it in January, mate.
Only January. It's only like 4 or 5 months ago, so it's virtually yesterday. And the Roses list, that was another one that I had no practice for at all, and decided that taking all the Roses is not good. So with this one, with no preparation, I wasn't going to try and tweak a Roses list. So I went back to my moaning about my dice rolls, get as many re-rolls as possible list in the Silver Moon, which was a travelling show theme, so you get a free luck token and give out an impetuous if you want, but it's A luck kami, a raki, manu with hot eyes coin, and I went for manu instead of Akashi because he gets a free option for a throw attack and a push defense, whereas Akashi is all defense and it's just a bit too predictable that you're going to do in a defense move.
Yeah, I hadn't thought of that before, but yeah.
Whereas Manu's got both options, so at least then it was a bit more, I might throw you or I might just push you, you don't know. So I went for him. I went for the generic nunchuck guys, obviously, because for 8 rice and 3 dice, they're solid.
Except for their ankles.
Except for the ankles, the sculpts are horrible. Hashtag resculpt them, please.
They're nice sculpts, they just break easy.
They just break easy, yeah, just resculpt them. No. Resculpt them maybe like standing straight up or something.
No.
Whatever. Yakuza got a new sculpt. So did somebody else in Prefecture, didn't they? Anyway,
yeah.
Hashtag so, everybody hates Silver Moon.
Yeah.
One generic crossbow man, Wasapu, who I put Miniki Neko on, so he got a luck token as well. Old Zo, because I love him.
You are Old Zo.
I love Old Zo. He annoys so many people. And pit dogs.
Yep.
Is that everyone? I think that was everything I took.
Yeah, something like that.
Should be 9 models. It's all about...
Again, you can see all this on Longshanks anyway.
Yeah, so. It's on Longshanks, look it up. The idea was that there's enough people to do stuff. Obviously, the dogs and the Raki can't do much, but they help.
You're quite liking group on the dogs, aren't you?
Group on the dogs is amazing. They're so good.
Which is interesting, because like, group is generally viewed as a negative trait.
Oh, so
time.
Great. For 6 rice, you get the 2 dogs, yeah. And they've got some staying power as well. With the tough, they've only got 3 wounds, but with 2 dice and tough,
yeah. You're
just 1-1. And plus with the luck re-roll, it's like, well, even
they're,
if I
they're
roll
insignificant,
one
though, right?
Oh, yeah, they're insignificant. Yeah. But yeah, the first game, who was I playing first game? Can't remember. Something. I was playing something. I lost it 2-1. But I think I took the first point and then lost the next 2. But the dogs, yeah, brilliant. They were literally going from one to the next, just both of them charging up. I think they shredded somebody in turn 2 and then virtually shredded somebody turn 3. Because of the group, they just, as soon as they get a hold of somebody, they exhaust somebody in their first turn, and then you've got 2 dogs attacking you again on an exhausted model. So the first guy just got shredded. But for hunting down generic-y cheap people, amazing.
I
so
think also
good.
Pretty good, like, if someone's engaged you, you could use them responsibly because they will benefit from the outnumbering where
yeah.
they can't
yeah, yeah.
give
but they
that
can't
outnumbering
give it.
To one another. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
But for knocking out a mod, but even just for... tiring out. If you've got somebody's got a big beefy samurai or anything that's just
not tireless,
yeah. I don't want to mess with that. It's like, yeah, 2 dogs go into it and just all out defense and they just sit there hanging off his arms. So I'm really impressed with the dogs. Zo, I can't say Zo did much in any of my games, to be honest.
No.
I don't know if people are just working around. Yeah, every time he attacks, a couple of times I forgot it.
It's like, even if you pop tags and people aren't giving you key as a result of it, it's still doing something.
Yeah.
It's preventing, it's making them think a lot about, like,
didn't
the
put
additional
people off
cost.
As much as it usually does, I think.
Okay.
Is, so, yeah, first game was a 2-1 loss. Second game was against somebody.
Jack. Was against Jack, yeah.
What did he have? First game was against Silvermoon. It was a Roses list in Silvermoon.
Oh, right. So Roses do work, yeah?
They do if you know what you're doing and don't take all Roses. They do need somebody else to back them up.
Okay, so... I can't remember what Jack was taking.
Yeah, what did Jack take?
Anyway, you can check out Longshanks.
Yeah, check out Longshanks.
Yeah.
And I think that was the 3-0 loss I had. I actually don't remember.
Well, Jack's good list rider, good player.
Yeah.
So
Oh, was he the Bakumono?
I'm guessing it was.
Yeah. Oh, the Bakumono dog pile. Oh, God, yeah, they're bloody horrible.
Yeah, because I think a couple of people took the Hordeless.
Yeah.
Savage Wipe. I don't think anyone took them on either.
I didn't see any Oni.
No, I didn't see any Oni. But yeah, the Bakumono Hordeless, Jesus, that was just absolute dogpile. You couldn't get anywhere, couldn't get through them. They were getting
there
summoned left,
right,
and centre.
It wasn't a literal dogpile, it was a Bakumono pile.
Oh, Bakumono pile. Yeah,
yeah,
there
not,
was just,
not the Kaihei, basically.
No.
Okay, cool.
Such a good list. They were fragile, but I was really duffing my rolls, something horrible.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't kill any of them. And if you can't kill any, they just keep coming, keep coming, keep
that's
going.
That's the thing, Bushido, if someone's content to just go all defence all the time,
yeah,
he's quite hard to dislodge them, even
yeah,
if they're shit. As long as the rolls come through.
Yeah, but even the re-rolls, like... Oh, and the that was the other thing, Preordain I took as well. But yeah, it was everything. All the Rakis dice that he was building up that I could swap out were just consistently, like, threes. Yeah, well, I'm not really using them productively. My Preordains, I think, was a 3 and a 4. You know, well, they're not great, but kind of useful. Yeah, and I just couldn't get through the back of my knee, so I think I got 3-0 on that one. And then the third game was against some dick with skeletons. I can't remember now.
I gave you the first point.
I
disengaged at just the right moment and managed to skip a point.
Would you say that in your game against James that you got boned? Thank you.
I didn't. I actually, like James said, I was grumpy throughout. I honestly didn't think I was grumpy, but afterwards, I think I was actually just tired, because before every game I take a Pro Plus and that keeps me a nice focus through the game, and that was the only game of the day that I didn't. So by the time I got stuck in skeleton juice. And not going anywhere.
Yeah, I think that was more. Yeah, you were trying stuff and it never worked. Your dice weren't terrible, but
they were pretty bad. They were pretty bad.
They were worse than mine all the time. That's the problem.
Yeah,
they weren't good enough to beat mine.
Yeah,
is it a Korean dish that's like bone soup?
I don't know.
Yeah, sorry, because you said skeleton juice. Yeah,
bone soup. Yeah, I was sucking bone soup.
I digress.
So yeah, basically that was the three losses, and then the last game. I had against ninjas, which was the zone control and the two prayer things.
Yeah.
He had 5 models, I had 9, and he weren't scoring until 4, 5, and 6. So I was straight away like, I'm in no rush. I'll just slowly send some people around the edge, the rest can come through. At some point, a ninja's got to come out of camouflage, and when he does, I had my dog sitting in the middle, I had Manu sitting in the middle, I had crossbows ready to shoot them. So yeah, by turn 2, the ninja dog, I don't know what it is, the big... he ran out and attacked...
Oh, the big lion?
Yeah, the
like
big
Neko.
Lion.
Yeah, it's literally cats, but yes.
Yeah. He ran out and engaged somebody who went all defence and just held him there. Nice. And then I had Wasapu take a shot with his crossbow, and my preordain was 2 6s. And with a success 3, I think, or 6x4, if you roll a 12, it was 7 wounds.
Yeah.
So it was an instant, well, there's my preordain dice, he's dead in one shot. And then it was basically just grabbing a ninja and just slowly cutting them down one at a time until. Look, I mean, to be fair, I had 4 models left, I think, at the end.
Yeah, sure.
Like, I got shredded. But he had one ninja left and they were surrounded and couldn't stop me.
And the biggest mistake a ninja player can make, and I know because I always make it when I play as ninjas, is like going too early, making your move too early.
Yeah.
Because the second you expose yourself, you're then open to all the counters. You've probably only exposed like 1 or 2 models, unless you go fucking all in, but then you have to really back that up. That one model is going to see the full wrath of the opponent. Because they can't bloody target the rest of them. So, yeah, big mistake to just, like, throw stuff out with ninjas, I think.
Yeah.
Unless they're dirt cheap, like maybe a worm here and there, but even then.
But then that was when because it was camouflage too, so you had to... So it was basically, I had time to slowly creep up. And then as soon as Manu was in 2 inches, he just ran out, grabbed somebody, threw them out of camouflage to the dogs, who just jumped on him. And it was like,
worth bearing in mind that, like, even if there's a ninja that you can't currently see because they're like disguised or something, you can still prone them if you throw one of their mates into them.
Yeah.
It's always fun.
Lol.
I've had quite a lot of fun with Tomotsu before, who's like 8 rice or something, and he's got a 2 key feat where everyone within 2 inches of him gains a poison 2 marker, I think. And that doesn't care if all your ninjas are disguised.
There's ways around it. But yeah, that was... So because I finished on a 3-0 win, I feel like I effectively won the tournament.
Yeah, despite coming last out of the three of us.
Out of the three of us, yeah. But not last. If I'd have lost that last game, I would have come flat last and I'd have got a free model and a little Saki set, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah.
So I regret being so amazing in that last game. To be fair, I mean, the last game, I still had junk dice rolls, but my re-rolls were coming out great. Like, burning off re-rolls. The amount of times I'd roll 1 for defence, it's just like, oops, I'll just re-roll that into a 6.
It was discussing your list with you, that, and I didn't mention this when I was talking about mine, but like discussing your list with you that made me put balance into my list.
Yeah.
It's just like, oh, I'll just take out one of these things and I'll put balance in. And actually that worked really well for killing a water cami, like Cami of the Morning Dew or whatever, because it's got like parry 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And he was like, okay, I'm going to make you re-roll your 5 and your 4. No, you're not.
Yeah, balance is great.
I didn't come up against any all samurai things, but it was still fine.
Yeah, if you build a list which doesn't use any re-rolls yourself,
yeah,
it's even better, because you're planned for it. Your opponent might be relying on that odd re-roll to keep something alive or kill something.
Yeah.
And if you can shut it down for that turn.
But I did quite like my list. I quite liked all the re-rolls. When they worked amazing. And I think... I don't know what I'd change. I might even not take Old Zoe at some point, I think. Because it was very... Yeah, I mean, against the Bakemono list, he was pretty obsolete because they were generating like 16 key a turn or something.
Yeah, and a lot of the key feats they actually use are quite expensive. Like if it's summoning another...
Yeah.
Bakemono,
it was like 6 to 7, and
you make it to 7. It's like, well, that is irritating,
but it doesn't matter. I was only
percentage doing increase.
Yeah. Next turn, he's whacking out another 16, 17, 18 key anyway. And at that point, and it was communal, which was the other thing. Yeah. If it wasn't communal, it would be more of an issue.
But if you were facing someone who's got a lot of like key 1 and key 2 key feats,
yeah,
Zoe is an absolute bastard.
Yeah. So I don't know. Maybe it was just against. And the skeletons, obviously, was pretty obsolete. I don't know. Maybe. But yeah, the dog's super impressed with. Crossbows performed pretty well through the day, I think.
They're pretty reliable, aren't they?
Yeah, great, they're pretty solid. But yeah, you're looking at maybe I could drop Zoe and take another crossbow. But then you've got 3 crossbows, a bit much.
Yeah.
Because they don't take the activations, is the problem.
Yeah. Yeah, they trade the ability to take activations for the ability to do stuff at low risk.
Yeah.
Or no risk, really, a lot of the time.
But I could quite comfortably run out of ammo in everybody, sort of every game, which is a bit of a rarity.
It's still recording, isn't it?
I hope so.
Yeah, it's hard to tell in the sunlight.
Yeah, it's still recording, we're good. Well, we've just been waffling for nothing for... But yeah, I think generally...
Okay.
Generally, it was all right.
So, like the event as a whole, I really enjoyed all my games, you know, blah blah blah. Andy did a great job getting loads of scenery ready.
Scenery stuff was actually pretty good, actually, rather than the usual hodgepodge of half a wall that's just hanging out of nowhere. And
nice to have some bits of ideal terrain floating around. Yeah. Mastercrafted miniatures. Mastercrafted.co.uk. Got like my own website. I used those to great effect with like Yankee. It's like, oh yeah, no, I'm just going to stop here. Actually, I'll wait turn 2. I might just wait with my bum on this ideal terrain. But yeah, the terrain's good. So the standings at the end of the day, look on Longshanks, and it's still early days because, you know, when the Kinshi first came out, they won a couple of tournaments. People were a bit worried about them. And turned out not to really be a problem. You don't see an awful lot these days of Hagane being a terror. though she still is. But so I think first place, second place, and fourth place were the new Temple Masters theme. It was very confusing when I said, "Oh, what did you play against?" And someone went, "Oh, Masters." And I'm like, "So a Grandmaster who's won before?" No, the Masters list. Oh yeah.
Oh, that.
So that's one which might be a bit of a problem. It seems like it. The real problem is that it gives all monks all those attacks and defences for free, so you don't have to worry about whose job is what. They just can sort of all do it. They can all prone the absolute tits off of your warband, and Akari can prone the tits off of you. Especially Akari, where he will then have like throw defence zero. And what is he like? Four dice, and he's got.
Is he the little ferret?
Yeah. Trash panda.
Yeah.
Massive testicles. Allegedly. Kick his blankets. And he's got. He can just get loads and loads of activations and basically just sort of work his way through your warband, just going, "And you're prone, and you're prone." That's a bit of a problem, I think. Whether the problem is Akari's activation, or what, you know, I mean, the theme gives out Tireless for one round, which is lovely, but you're only running four models because they've all got to be Masters.
Yeah.
So I was thinking about a couple of ways you might address it. Maybe if the monk doesn't have access to the special already, then it's a cost of one. Maybe you have to be a monk to be in the list, so Akari then can't be. But I think generally people think Akari might still just be a bit of a problem. And I was thinking maybe you make it like his gain an activation token is once per activation. But actually that doesn't work because I think it's an active key feat, or it's an instant, whatever. It's not simple, obviously. So I think what you can do, from a design point of view, you've got, you know, the once per turn icon.
Yeah.
But you could just give him three of those. Because the whole point is that you're meant to use your pen to fill in that circle, which then is like, oh no, I've used that. So if you give him three of those icons, then he can only use it three times per turn, or two times per turn if you give him two.
Yeah.
Maybe that works? I don't know. I haven't played it. I would crumble. I wouldn't know what to do. But there we go.
Yeah, I don't think any of us played against one of these lists.
No. I mean, Jason played in the tournament to make up the numbers because of Ol not making it, which we'll talk back in a sec, but he beat the Masters list.
Did he?
One of the Masters lists. Yeah. He did his part, as he said. Don't know. He did it with the ninjas. Although I don't know what he took. Again, Longshanks. So Ol wasn't able to make it because he had double booked with a wedding on the Friday, and also his wife, who usually comes with us as well, she was the one making the cake for that wedding, and also she got ill after the wedding, and yeah, so he got up at like 8:30 and the tournament sort of started at 9, so... Yeah, there you go.
He said no.
Yeah. So that's why Jason hopped in to make the numbers equal.
The other thing for the tournament was the clocks.
Oh, death clocks, like actual straight up death clocks. Oh, why are people so stupid?
He didn't give in, did he?
No. When one person pulling out doing 60 and the other guy's doing 80 coming along the... Oh look, he's still indicating. Anyway, actual death clocks. Not you've got 2 minutes to decide what you're doing and start doing it. Just straight up, each player gets an hour. And seemed to work fine.
Shocker.
If you are active, your clock is ticking down. We always paused between turns.
The end phase, yeah.
If someone had a lot of like start phase effect stuff to do, I would start it. most of my opponents were like, I think all my opponents were like, I don't really need it. And I was like, no, I'm using it. It's not because of you. It's because I'm a goddamn nightmare. So I need to do it. I need to have it in mind. That said, there's something weird that happens with a couple of those clocks where they just, I haven't pressed any buttons, but now it just says something different. It's no longer counting down, and like the only way you can get back to the countdown is to reset it, and then you're like, well, I don't know how much time I had left. So that happened in at least two of my games.
Mine always worked. I'd used it in three of them, to be fair. My problem was forgetting to tap it,
and
then by the time you realise and turn around, you've had three turns on your own time. Like, oh, I don't
That's just habit. And
but yeah, that's a practice. But then we never came close to the end of it before the end of the game.
Oh yeah, I think.
But the thing was, if you burnt your hour and the game was still going, you just 3-0 lost.
Yes.
No.
Gain all remaining BP.
Yeah.
Oh right.
Yeah. So I think every game I had, there was at least 15-20 minutes left for each player.
Yeah. I don't think we ever got that far. I think I got to 8 minutes on one of mine. It's probably the back of my.
What you essentially
part.
Have is because, like, what is it? An hour and a half per game.
Yeah.
Is that how much we had? Hour and 45.
About that, probably. Yeah.
So it sort of means that if one of you is playing slower than the other by a significant amount, you'll get caught out.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean the game finishes in time because also you're pausing between rounds and so on. But yeah, I actually quite liked it from a point of view of like, well, we've clicked the timer, that means the turn is over. I'm no longer active, so I can't do a key feat that I would have that I forgot to do because it's not my activation anymore.
Yeah.
So it's quite good for just like making what are otherwise quite fuzzy handovers clear.
Yeah.
And a couple of times, of course, because I was using like a key feat, an instant key feat, which gives me fear and terror defensively. A couple of times people were like, so I'm going to melee that model, just move him. And I'm like, whoa. Fear test, please. 6. Reroll that shit. Yeah, where was your model? And it's all well and good, like, I don't expect someone to say, I'm going to melee that model, and then just wait for me to say something, but give me a window. You know? Because there's so many, like, interrupts in Bushido.
I think that's probably quite common. I think that's a factor of the clock, because it's like playing Colt pretty much most of the time, having so much fear, people have a tendency to move and they go, oh, you need to do a fear test, and then didn't do it. Even if you tell them they do a fear test, they'll still move.
I think it's also just a consequence of like just not really thinking about, especially if a model doesn't have innate fear. Because like I look at, your Colt, most of your fucking things are going to require a test.
Yeah.
But against me, you're just like, well, that's just that could just be a dude. And then I go, well, actually, it's a dude who wugga 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 snake stuff. It shouldn't really be on my opponent to remember that I might do it, but there needs to be, they shouldn't say, oh, I'm doing this, and then just straight up move. They just need to, you know, just look at me. Or say, you did anything? Great, go.
Yeah. Or just go in and just start moving.
Because there is a window for you to do instants when someone declares that they're going to like melee you. There is a window before they're in base contact where you can declare your instant key feats and stuff. And one of my virtues on queue is turn your model to face any direction, it doesn't count as moving. Well, that's almost as, I mean, it's just as good as being able to spend a virtue token to get 6 cents.
Yeah.
So I can prevent the surprise, but I mean, it's not so much of a problem because if you move the model, I go, well, I've done that, so I'll turn it.
Yeah.
Because I would have done it if you didn't give me a chance. I think there's maybe just like an etiquette thing in there somewhere. Yeah. The trouble is because we're all so conscious of the time stresses of playing Bushido in a tournament environment, we rush.
Yeah.
Rush things that we, you know, we made the decision, so we just need to move the model.
Yeah.
And yeah, so, But yeah. There you go.
But all in all, I think they worked all right.
Yeah,
good event.
There were still quite a few people, even the guy that I played in, I can't remember his name, I do apologize. The ninjas I played at the end, he was just flat out, I don't need his clock. And at that point, I'd already lost 3 games, so I was like, yeah, sure, whatever.
Yeah, so.
But I could overhear a lot of people saying, I don't like the clock. using the clock.
Yeah, I mean, I'm getting a bit... I think I might be getting a little bit more strict on what the rules pack says. So yeah. The rules pack says death clocks will be used. It doesn't say death clocks can optionally be used.
Yeah.
So I kind of think you should use them, especially because a lot of the people who take a long time and really need a fucking clock are the ones who will say, I don't really want to use a clock. Well, no, of course you don't. And I was sort of that person, but I'm very aware, because you let guys all let me know all the time, I'm very aware that I'm slow. And so the clock actually helps me. And the other thing is, like, the thing that I've always done, and I don't do it anymore now, is the extrapolation of what would have happened.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, we only got to the end of turn two, which isn't a scoring turn, but then we ran out of time. Okay, it's a 0-0. But what I would often do is extrapolate it, because I might have one model left, and I'd be like, well, you're going to get the 3-0, aren't you, obviously. But the thing is, like, yeah, but we haven't finished the game. But once you've got death clocks, I can point to my clock and go, I haven't slow played you out of VPs. Because look at my clock.
Yeah.
So that's just the way it is. We both just took a little bit longer than we would have needed.
Then we're coming back to, is it better to have certain scenarios or tournament specific games to play? Yeah. Having that one that scores 4, 5, and 6.
Yeah.
Is wholly optimistic. I mean, we got to turn 5 and we were speeding through, but I was also playing, he had 2 ninjas for the majority of the game.
Yeah. So I think, just want to touch on one thing before I respond to that. But like, so one of the experiences I've had before at a tournament was, I played a guy, he was very slow, and we got to the end of life, we got to like start of turn 3, and I'd ruined his day, and I was like, well, look, this would work out at 3-0. And he's like, well, we haven't finished the game, so it's a 1-0. Like, okay, yeah, sure, those are the rules, fine. Okay, seems a bit mean, but whatever. And then, like, the next game or the game after that, he was on the table next to me. He basically did the opposite to, you know, he almost wiped out his opponent turn 2. And his opponent went, do you just want to take the 3-0 there? And the fucker said yes. And it's people like that who then sort of ruin the whole thing, because they then artificially rise up the rankings, because they're not being just nice, they're taking your niceness and fucking you with it. And it gave me really bad taste in my mouth. I mean, it's the same guy who, like, I dropped a die and he changed the fucking result of the roll he just made, because I dropped the die so that he would think he could get away with it, and I caught him. So, you know, fine. Anyway, so that is me bitching about him. I think Bushido could work quite well as a 4-turn game. You have to rework.
4-turn games are achievable.
Yeah, I think you rework all the scenarios. I think it does mess with. Sorry, I'm distracted. Is that a drone? No, it's a hang glider, and that's a bird of prey. Very confusing. Sorry.
Yeah.
Having a moment. I can see a glider, a hand glider, and like a falcon at the same time.
What?
Very exciting. Well, they've all moved now.
Where?
This is the content people want.
It's not important.
I think it can work as a 4-turn game. I think it does mess with some slower factions quite a lot, so you would have to reconsider that.
Well, you say that, but I mean, it depends when you're scoring, I suppose, because at that point you're scoring 2, 3, and 4.
I think Cult have got like hard, not hard counters, but hard compensation for that in like, oh yeah, I can deploy with Scout with all these Kairai, or, you know, there's the Grave that you can deploy near. Yeah.
The Kairai is a good example because they're all 3-inch move.
Yes, so but slow. They can start so much further up, they might be all right.
But then you'd have to take them in theme. Then you're forced to take a theme.
Yeah, of course. I mean, you can't make a blanket change, like such a fundamental blanket change to a game without having those. But I think they would be, there would be fewer real problematic situations than you might think. And you might be able to compensate for that by just, you know, sort of throwing out a couple of like blanket compensation things of like, well, yeah, okay, your Kairai can get a bonus move in the first turn, or whatever it is. You know, I think you could probably almost address them on like a case-by-case basis to a certain extent.
Well, that
you'd have to do so much playtesting. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, exactly
it's
that.
It's a simple event,
It's a free special card that you can only use if you are not taking the theme, which gives them that anyway.
Yeah.
Blah, blah, blah. Whatever. Does require loads of testing and stuff. But
yeah.
I would like to try it a bit. You have to write the scenario and so on. And then, like... The trouble is, we don't play enough anyway. Even when we were playing a lot, we don't play enough anyway to really test something like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think it could be fun to run an event. As long as everyone knows, it's a four-turn event, and you come down to Portsmouth, and we get four games in, because you'd be able to get it in.
Yeah.
Because you could still say, oh, hey, you've got an hour and a half, but you're playing two less turns. I mean, there is an argument like, well, you know, turn five and six don't really take that long. But they still take enough time because you've got to, you know, generate your key and your activation tokens and stuff. Yeah. So if you hit the hard limit, you still can't just... and they're done. But if you just chop them off...
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe your deployment isn't baseline anymore. You know? Just to get people the option of being a little bit further up the field. So instead of turn two being your big brawling turn... and turn three being a still brawling turn. Maybe turn one is a little bit of brawling, and then turn two is still, like, you know, most of
well,
it.
Well, that would do, like, advanced. You can set up so many rice of people 6 inches in as a sort of...
Yeah. Yeah, sure. Yeah, or, yeah, whatever. Something. Something to make it sort of just get into it a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, it's definitely going to disadvantage some lists and advantage other lists.
But then that's, I mean, every scenario effectively,
yeah, absolutely,
some favours some lists over others. I mean, it's all luck of the draw, but you still have to make a list that's capable to take care of stuff. You know, some models just don't ever get taken. There are easily half the range you will never see at a tournament.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. And that's the thing, like, Bushido is trying to cater to people who both like tournaments and also like narrative events and, you know, just casual one-offs, you know, whatever. So, yeah, I don't know, worth playing around with, maybe. And then take the data to Jason. I'm running...
Yeah, I'd be curious for that. What are you
I'm just paranoid of it stopping recording because we've run out of space. The SD card. It's still going. It's still going. Red. It's fine.
Yeah, it's still going. Yeah, anything else? Anything else? Anything we need to?
Anything else Bushido related?
Model.
Anyone see any sneak peeks that they're excited about? I mean, Graham, you don't count. You basically see everything that I see.
I don't know what you're talking about. I saw a Buto with a
man catcher
Buto and a Larry looking priest.
Well,
giving it a large run.
He's meant to be sort of be going, and welcome to the show, sort of idea, but I don't know.
But he looks more like he's going, come on then, if you think you're hard enough.
Yeah, but he's not like the cocky prick in...
Kinchi.
In Kinchi. He's just like, I'm here, boys.
No, he looks pretty deaf. I'll have to look up and see what his rules are. I did hear rumours of urchins.
Rumours of urchins, yeah.
Rumours of urchins, which would have gone with my urchin if I'd have designed it.
You want an urchin playing Kanchor. Yep. Don't you? Yeah, fingers up. Anyway,
what was the card which Jason was wearing?
Yeah, Jason.
Was that is actually a real card?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
What was the cami of
the empty mind?
Yeah.
It's a void cami. That card has been written for about 18 months, and the model's coming out soon.
That's good news.
Finally, Kinchi get that model which they've been missing.
Yeah.
Temple get an interesting choice.
Obviously, you didn't see the back of it, so I don't know what special stuff it can do.
Yeah. I love Jason's like little Easter eggs he puts in. Getting custom t-shirt printed up. Just the front of the card. Yeah, it's good.
And those art prints were pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, we got an art print at the...
I might put that up in the studio.
Yeah, I'm going to put it up on my wall.
Yeah, they were pretty slick.
And as always, they had the folder full of sneak peeks of artwork things.
Oh, did they? I didn't see that.
Look, I mean, so what I was about to say is go on Discord. There will be photos of it on Discord.
Okay. Right.
I mean, Richard Alderson always loves to go and get the sneak peeks, as do the Roll Better boys. Yeah, so hello to them. Yeah. So,
all in all, it's cool. A good tournament, yeah.
I picked up, oh God, is it Ito Mamushi, the heavy samurai that's not Kenzo, and he's on a 30 mil. Because he's the only Ito model I don't have. So yeah, I haven't really got any thoughts on him at the moment. I need to actually... I didn't realise he'd come out.
I picked up Fagin.
Yep.
Because I think he's surprisingly good, actually. I don't remember him being as good as he is.
Looking forward to having a couple more urchins. But
yeah, yes. Some urchin. I want an Oliver Twist list.
Yeah.
Well, I reckon the guy with the stick, two pit dogs, a rose, loads of urchins, yeah. Fagin.
Yeah.
And maybe a couple of generic crossbows is just the ruffians on the streets.
Who's going to be your, like, Bill Sykes?
The guy with the stick.
Who's the guy with the stick?
The animal trainer with the stick.
Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So I'll whack him in.
Can't remember his name.
Sakurachi? No.
No, that's the... Isn't that the tiger?
No, that's Hanuma.
Oh, okay.
Something.
Oh, it might be Sakurachi.
Sakurachi.
It's just phonetically...
Yeah, it sounds like the hot sauce.
Phonetically scratchy. But yeah. Yeah, he's scratchy.
Oh, he's got scratches on his face. Yeah,
oh, there you go. He's scratchy then, isn't he?
Yeah.
Same way as Waspu is literally wasp.
Yeah. So yeah, and yeah, okay. I might put that together. I don't think it'll do very well, but yeah.
Who cares? Yeah, shout out to Mooters for when he saw the first version of my list. I did slightly tweak it. On Longshanks, he sent me a Discord message, the entirety of which was, "Your list is weird." And no follow up, no response to my defence of it. That was great. I painted my first two models of the year, which were Yankee and the Shrine to Orochi. I painted those in the 3 hours, like the night before the event.
Well done, you.
Thank you, me. Wait, no, what? Thank you to you.
Okay.
Right, that's Bushido. Yeah.
Did we buy anything? Were we talking about stuff we bought, or is that?
Yeah, I think we're just talking about talk about the expo in general.
Yeah, well, I got the Morning Dew Cami because I didn't have it. That's about it.
Okay.
Pretty much everything else I need.
We did see the tiniest corn berserker ever.
Oh, yeah.
Adorable. Yeah, the so cute.
Yeah, I mean, you took a picture next to the Terminator.
I think they would have been a small guardsman. So yeah, that was pretty cool. I enjoyed seeing them.
Yeah.
I mean, like, so the expo, like, more broadly. So we only went up for the Saturday and the Sunday, and we left about 3 o'clock on the Sunday.
Yeah.
So I usually just spend my whole time talking to, like, Gordon, Jason and Andy about shop stuff. And Alex. So, yeah, I did that for longer than usual, actually. Lots of interesting discussions about production methods and such, and scenic bases and things like that. So we've got some fun things that we're going to be doing at some point.
Oh, Easter eggs there, everyone.
Yeah. Oh, Headley, who... To no one's surprise, won the best painted prize.
What did he take this time?
Temple.
I didn't actually see it.
Yeah, he was one of the masters lists, I think, because he's got a beautifully painted master Ekaset. Follow Headley on Instagram for some delicious Bushido painting. He won as his prize this scenic base for the Dark Pilgrim and the Grey Pilgrim.
Nice.
There's a
scenic
base for the tournament.
I wondered what that was.
Tournament.
I saw that. Yeah.
Outside of Bushido.
Outside of Bushido, I got some toy soldiers, which I probably shouldn't have. But yeah.
Heh. Of course you. I mean, yeah. But you're actually doing quite a bit of painting, aren't you?
I am doing quite a lot of painting. Yeah. I seem to have a lot more free time.
Yeah. And now you've got your own. You got a new house.
Yeah. New studio.
New house. Bouncing around.
Haven't set it up around. Yeah, so I can display it.
Yeah, because you forgot the event was on this weekend. So what, did you move into your new house on, like, Thursday, partially? And then, like, oh, I go to work and then we go to Birmingham.
Oh, it was Wednesday. Tuesday it was going to be... Oh, no, it was Wednesday. I was picking up the keys Wednesday, but obviously I didn't get the keys until 6 in the evening, so it was a wasted effort. Went to work Thursday and then went to the tournament Friday.
Yeah.
So...
So you can go back to your cardboard boxes tonight.
Yeah, so I can arrange my toy soldiers.
I haven't even got a bed, have you?
No.
Okay. Anyway, so you bought some toy soldiers.
I bought some toy soldiers.
You bought some, like, townspeople, lots of models for not that much money.
Hard
plastic.
Yeah, from Dungeons and Lasers, Archon Studio.
Yeah.
Which I actually quite like. Even the dragons I really liked, but I didn't get any dragons because there's no way I'm going to paint them, and they'll be there next year. So,
and you picked up a couple of D&D models that basically get cost, didn't you?
Somebody, yeah, like pretty, somebody D&D was models. Yeah, somebody was flogging them off cheap, the little framework stuff.
It's 100% at cost.
They are cheap as chips. They are expensive, and they're not amazing models, but I like cutting and sticking.
It was like an
£18
model, and they were selling it for like, what, £6 or 15, like £5 or
15
something.
£15
and they were
£5.
Yeah, so that's basically cost.
Yeah, for £5, I quite like snipping them apart and assembling them and then painting them. It's quite therapeutic to sit in front of the TV and do that stuff.
They're not bad. I mean, for the price you paid.
Oh, for £5, I wouldn't pay £15 for them at all. They are not that good. But for £5, yeah, that keeps me entertained for an hour. What else did we see?
I mean, I didn't buy anything.
Oh, I bought a couple of little card gamey things. Standard issue. Yeah, if you go to the expo, everybody's super friendly. They'll teach you games, show you stuff.
Sell you stuff.
Ask anybody. They'll give you tips and ideas, or, you know, we like this game. Have you tried this one? Blah, blah, blah. Lots of trials.
You picked up Llama, didn't you?
Which we played last night.
I just watched and sort of nodded off.
Which was alright. It's a little Party Llama. It was a.
It's a little longer than I expected, actually.
Yeah.
Like, it looks like a filler game, and then it takes a little bit longer than a filler game.
But there's a bit of depth to it. You've got to think about things. So sometimes it's worth not losing, but not winning. Okay. So that you can. Winning there. Yeah, but it was all right for a £5 little card game. Yeah, that was fine.
Yeah, so I brought...
You bought a shitload of stuff.
No,
I bought one game.
All right.
Maybe it was everything for that game.
Oh, yeah, the zombie one.
Yes, it was a stick from Stalingrad.
I looked at that quite a lot. I quite like the look of that.
Yeah, so it's like a... The miniatures aren't usually the ones I go for because it's like the board game sort of plastic quality, but... Looking at the models they actually had on the show, which apparently were the sort of standard.
Actually, the PVC and not 3D prints?
Yeah, the proper actual production models.
Okay.
No mould lines, the detail was crisp, the things like the guns were actually sort of.
Not bent and twisted into a full.
Were they actually PVC?
I think they might be. Oh, or maybe these something sort of.
I mean, I just the idea of no mould lines.
Maybe it's probably not PVC, it's probably something better than PVC, but definitely not a resin.
There are a couple of other, I mean, obviously the Seocast out there, but there's another production method, I can't remember the name of it.
No, it's not Seocast either, but the fact is that guns are pretty much almost real scale, and they're not heroic, it's not heroic scale models. It seems neat. You can play, it's like a almost board game esque where you actually have a book.
Sorry.
Because you have a book with the missions in, and you sort of play. One side of the page has got like the map you play on, and the other side's got the rules, and you sort of do that map and go to the next map.
You play on the book.
Yeah, it's like an A4 book.
Oh wow!
There's also apparently, there is a free war game adaptation of it, so you can actually play it on a proper war game sort of size map.
Huh.
I don't know if I missed a turning, but Google Maps is doing a thing right now. Where that? What is it? Okay, sorry.
Like I said, the people were so friendly there, so I actually ended up talking to the person who designed the game for a good 5-10 minutes.
Oh, yeah!
And he actually, when I went and bought it, he goes, well, if you bring it back, I'll sign it.
Okay.
So I got him to sign the box, and just nice. There's a Kickstarter for that coming end of the month for sort of
for that zombie game?
Yeah, it's sort of like the next installment of it. So the idea is this is 1942 Russia. The next one's like 1943 or so in Poland.
Oh, right. Do you reckon they'll backdate this lot into the Kickstarter bunch?
I don't know. No idea.
I might keep an eye out for that. But what was the other Kickstarter one? Oh, sorry.
And it was also neat because if you are a board gamer, you can buy the basic one, which you get little standees. Or you can buy...
Oh, yeah, standees. Like, why would you do that? It's a model game. Just get the models. Come on.
Or you can buy a bit more, buy all the models.
Commit to it. Get the models.
Accessibility.
No.
Let's do it.
It's
standees. Cardboard cutouts.
I'm not going to yuck other people's yum.
No.
Yes.
Commit to it. If you're going to be a nerd. Get your toy soldiers out and paint them.
Yeah, so that... And the
hashtag.
Yeah.
Hashtag be a nerd. Be proud. Paint your models.
Yeah, and that Kickstarter is Project Rise. apparently.
Project Rise. Yeah, yeah. Good. Keep an ear out for that.
Yeah.
There was another Rise. Kickstarter.
So the other one was one which is going on at the moment, which I think Celestial. No, hang on.
Celestial
Affinity.
Affinity. Yeah.
You're going to have to get this podcast out quick if you want this to be of any use at all in this Kickstarter.
Yeah. Fuck's sake. Yeah, well, we'll see. I mean, tomorrow I've got a lot of bookkeeping and accountancy stuff to do, so...
And you've still got to do the January one, so...
Yeah. Oh, yeah, but I'll do that after this one. I think that's just funnier in a way. Plus, I need to listen to the whole thing because I think I was quite drunk and I might have just been a knob.
Good chance. No, we were driving, weren't we? Oh, no, we recorded it. Yeah, no, right.
Yeah, the pre-night was a bit worse for wear. Anyway,
So that's Kickstarter started a couple of days ago, I think.
Yeah, so this...
To the end of the month?
Having gone to the show and being like, look, I'm just not here for it. I don't want a new miniatures game. I've got so many board games at home that I haven't played yet. So I'm not... And then you were like, oh, yeah, I haven't seen a game with, like, demons for a bit. I want demons in a game. We walk around the corner and like, oh, those are some 54mm demons. Yeah. And I was like, ooh, 54mm skirmish game. Yeah. Nice to see someone doing something... A little bit out of the box, you know, a little bit out of the norm.
Yeah, so they've been around for quite a few years now, and I've got some other than
not as a game, right?
No, not as a game, but as a company selling just miniatures. I think sort of originally they were sort of designing them for roleplay gamers and just one-off miniatures and the odd. So I got this goddess being summoned by a load of nuns, sort of thing. Got a few years.
Sounds like nerdy porn model. Goddess being summoned by some nuns.
Yeah, a little bit.
Bit of cleavage and
fishnets
and all that sort of stuff. Standard nun attire, isn't it?
To me, it looked quite classy, but I didn't look for very long.
But
I haven't seen it at all. I'm just making wild assumptions. Yeah. I'm sure it's lovely and just
wishlisting.
I'm sure it's lovely and tasteful.
And it's sort of the standard high quality resin.
CMA, another CMA casting, really nice resin,
nice models.
Production line.
Yeah. So like when I bought from them before, it was like I'd ask them, well, "Have you got a game for your models?" Because it's always good to have a reason to buy your models.
Yeah, and I try and buy something I'm going to use for something potentially. At least.
And unfortunately, in the past, it was always, "Now we haven't got anything." But this year, just happened to be, "Yeah, we do actually."
Yeah.
So.
My initial sort of thoughts were like the name is not good. Like I couldn't remember it for ages. But I've talked about it quite a lot.
I've actually forgotten about it now. What's Celestial
Affinity.
Affinity, that was it.
So I could remember the celestial part, but then it was just blah, 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 blah. Whatever.
Bearing in mind, we have also got ADHD, so yeah.
Yeah.
This isn't a slur on them.
Well, maybe it is.
It's
a sort of combination of generic. Too long and a bit sort of fiddly.
Boar Hunt Mansion or something?
So the company you make it is called Cerberus Studio, and the tagline for this game, so I think it's going to be a range of games sort of thing, is a decimation of Bear Mount.
Bear Mount, that was it.
Bear Mount, sorry.
Bear Mount.
Okay, how do you spell it? It's just that it's minor point. It's his passion project, and we live in the age of QR codes. It's fine, you know, whatever. What was the other like slight niggle that I have to moan about because that's my personality? I can't remember. I'll come back to it. I'm sure I'll have it in a second. What were we talking about?
Yeah, so the
two soldiers.
Yeah, so I think it's like two or three factions initially.
Initially, two factions, but the stretch goals are met already.
Humans and demons come with the starter set, I believe.
Yeah, I think you're right. Yeah, humans and demons, and then
3v3, 54mm, played on a
2x3.
No, a 24x30 inch surface, which that's one of the weird decisions to me.
The only thing I can think of is that same size of a picture frame.
I mean, maybe.
Maybe that's you just buy a picture frame, like the fancy ones made of.
I mean, it's coffee table, easy, right?
Yeah. I mean, look, that's the smallest board that he recommends. So it probably doesn't matter. It's probably one of those situations where deploy 24 inches apart. You know, who knows? But I drove past here the other day. That's funny. On the way back from Wales. I might be able to point out to you where my wife blew the tire on the car coming back from Wales after 6 hours drive. I think one of the things with skirmish games now and it's been the case for me for a few years, is they need to have something which is different. They have to have a USP or a couple of things. Bushido got into my brain before I felt that way, although I still think like its melee mechanic, its just opposed dice mechanic is really good,
yeah.
Really interesting, the whole like hidden specials and all that sort of stuff. Moonstone did it with like whimsy, like I can't remember what's the artist's name, Froud or whatever, the you know, you got sort of labyrinth inspired goblin-y thing going on, plus a really unique combat mechanic. I'm not particularly enamored with its magic mechanic, but whatever, the combat mechanic was really unique, so that earned its place. Arena X earned its place, blah blah blah. I think this one does it by going, no one's doing 54 mil. I mean, more people are breaking out of the mold a bit there, but 54 mil, and what looks like quite an interesting like cube based like resource system for activations and then replenishment and also wounds all in one. That seemed quite interesting.
Yeah,
and of course you could do 54 mil now because people will 3D print terrain and just scale it up a bit. You're not limited to what's available from GW anymore, so yeah, looks interesting.
Well, so the models you get originally, the humans and the demons.
Yeah,
yeah.
There's also going to be werewolves and vampires.
Yeah, werewolves and necks, or maybe even unlocked already.
Yeah, they are.
And then yeah, the vampires are the coming up ones.
I remember the werewolves, things which annoyed me, so I'll come back to them.
Great models. The human werewolf, because they've got like a thing where they've got the human form, the transition form, and the werewolf form. Yeah. So presumably that's a game mechanic where you take time to switch from one to the next, because one of them is laying on the floor in fetal position, so presumably he's not doing
not
much.
Having a great time.
So presumably the transition, there's benefits to being one end or the other. But amazing models. They're very Viking-esque and kind of...
And what I would say is, like, he is an excellent sculptor from the point of view of a sculptor as well. Like,
oh, they're great models. The human, armoured humans ones, they look so good.
But then even, like, I walked past a lot of things. I think it was it Oathsworn or something we saw?
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that's a nice plastic tree. That's a nice plastic house. Those are some fantasy plastic miniatures. And they just didn't do anything for me. They were competently sculpted, but they were just sort of there. Maybe it's an aesthetic that doesn't really work for me. These miniatures, like, he was still like, oh, this guy is a dude with a hammer. He's not even swinging it. He's not even, like, particularly dynamic, but the pose, like, the distribution of his weight, the, like, the sort of forms of the muscle groups and stuff, just really well executed. And it was just another dude, but I was totally sold on that dude. Pretty cool. Can I do one of the things which annoyed me a little bit?
Yeah,
Not annoyed me.
Sculpting's great, isn't
let's
it?
Let's do a shit
really
sandwich,
nice,
right?
Let's
do a shit sandwich, except it's like a multi-tiered, like a shit...
Shit good.
What's the big
shit
burger
good
you
shit.
Get from McDonald's? Anyway.
The big crap.
So the sort of setup for the world is a little bit like standard, I guess, or like tropey. So magic is in the world. Magic is almost like religion-y type thing. There's a dark mage who, you know, starts messing around with dark magic that he probably shouldn't do. And he opens a portal to a world where there are demons. And then the demons come into our world. And you're like, oh, yeah, cool, okay. I just don't care.
I mean, come on, this is standard D&D trope. Like,
yeah, yeah,
it's
yeah.
not anything
and
new.
This
but
is
it's,
the thing, like, I don't...
It's okay.
I mean, in case, look, it's not even in case the guy ever hears this, but, like, I just... It's fine.
Yeah.
I don't really care much for the narrative of most games that I play. I like the setting, but it's mostly an aesthetic thing for me. Shock horror. You know, sculptor likes the aesthetics, so whatever. But that, to me, was just a little bit like, okay, I mean... Have you read a Terry Brooks novel? Because that sort of is a thing that happens in Shannara and all that. But fine.
Well, it's okay. It's,
it didn't annoy me. It just didn't interest me.
fantasy backstory. Yeah.
And look, this guy is sculpting, writing the background, and writing the rules. Not all, entirely on his own. He has people helping him out with some things. I don't know if he's also drawing the art as well. If he is, like, just, I hate him, because that's a lot of things to be good at. So anyway, yeah, there was that.
But worth checking out is what we were saying. It's like Kickstarter now, potentially, depending on when this comes out.
There was something else I didn't like.
Ben, take it to just come on.
No, it's really cool. I'm going to fucking drop at least 150 quid on his Kickstarter, so... You
and
know.
Everybody should, yeah, say something about the price, because I was a little bit horrified at the price, but you explained it in a different way. Now explain it in a different way.
Okay,
so
right.
People
so,
aren't horrified at the £150 Kickstarter price.
Yeah, well, you go, okay, you're getting the rules and six models for 150 quid.
Exactly.
Okay, yeah. But
all in for 240.
But they're 54 mil. They're big. And they're resin. So let's say you're getting them cheap at 20 quid each, right? You know, look at the going rate out there. That's not unreasonable. So that's 120 quid, and then you add like the rules to it, but also
a nice
be
box.
Reasonable. You've got yeah, this packaging. His packaging was very nice. And then you've also got to add. I didn't say his package. And then you know you've got a little bit of leeway for like also the models are 54 mil, so like 20 quid is probably a bargain anyway. So 150 quid seems right to me. The trouble is that is quite a big buy-in. And he's been very sensible. He's gone, you can just back for just the miniatures. Or you can back for just the rules and you get some standees. So I think he's been really sensible there.
Yeah.
That's great. And it's his passion project and he's very enthusiastic. I tried to get around his, like, his salesman mode. But credit to the guy, he has been at a show for 3 days and then I come along and, you know, so I don't begrudge him that. He's trying to promote his Kickstarter for the third day in a row. But
yeah.
Sometimes I try and be like, oh yes, I know, I'm like sculptor and manage sculptors for GCT who produce Bushido, and normally that'll drop someone's, not drop their guard, but like drop that sales persona, and they're a bit more interested in talking shop, and it didn't work on him, unfortunately. But I get why. So yeah, the other thing that bugs me slightly is just something that generally bugs me, because he was like, oh yeah, you know, Kickstarter went live on Thursday, and I'm pleased to say that we broke the target funding within 24 hours, and of course that's what every fucking Kickstarter likes to say. So they generally tend to set their actual like, goal quite low, and it's not what they actually need. If they're producing in PVC and all the boxes and stuff, they actually need, instead of the million they asked for, they probably need four or something.
Four million?
For, you know, like a cool mini or not.
Oh, yeah.
Like big box. Yeah. Box. And so it does sound good, and then you go and look at the project, and you're like, it needed $3,000 to be funded. And I'm less impressed by the, it was funded in 24 hours, by the $3,000 needed to fund it, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah, that stuff, just because it is the, it's the way Kickstarter has become, thanks to Cool Mini or Not and Mantic, you know?
Yeah.
Funded in 4 hours! Yeah, but, like, if the funding stopped there, it would be a financial failure for you. So it's just a marketing tagline.
Yeah.
And I would prefer to see people operating at the lower level like this guy, not lower level, but like the smaller level like this guy.
Smaller scale.
Not buying into that bollocks. But that, you know, again, that's just me being like a grumpy fucking socialist, isn't it? I definitely must have missed a turning because where the fuck are we? I'm going through a tiny little
South
town.
Hill.
What is this?
It's like nice. One way.
No, it's lovely.
Really nice.
It's lovely, but this
place.
Is not the. Yeah. I definitely missed that. Anyway.
This is adorable.
So actually, this segues
like
quite nicely in. Apart from the whole like, where are we thing?
Of course, it's the White Horse.
The Kickstarter and the artificial, funding target segues quite nicely. But I'm actually going to ruin the segue by saying that probably was a realistic funding target for him to be able to manufacture the miniatures he wanted to and do a print run of the rules. That probably was perfectly realistic.
Yeah.
But, you know, you funded $3,000 within 24 hours and each miniature's like 25 quid. It's like, well, it's not as impressive as it sounds, but I'm very happy for him that he's done that, and I'm going to help out there by buying some fucking cool minis and a game which looks interesting.
Yeah, there we go. Because it'll take, what, 20 people to back it to complete.
So, anyway, the game that you wanted to show me, James, where they weren't actually able to bring any stock.
Yeah, so this is a game which it kickstarted probably about a year ago. All this stuff got sent out a few months ago. Called Eldfall Chronicles.
E-L-D-F-A-L-L Chronicles.
This is on Kickstarter now?
No, so it was on Kickstarter before, so now they're actually just selling it normally.
They've got a dungeon crawler on Kickstarter now, or soon.
Oh, soon, yeah. So,
I can't remember.
yeah, so it came out, it funded, again, like Ben said, the slightly different way they funded it, they actually only just got through the funding, I think. It was like 30, 40 grand, and they just about made it, which I'm glad about, because the models look really good, the game had looks like it's got promise.
But it was the funding they needed.
But it was the funding they needed, and so yeah, so everything I got, obviously standard Kickstarter, it was probably, I don't know, 5-6 months late, but
yeah, standard.
What Kickstarter ever delivers on time. So everything came in. The rule book's nice. The models are I really like. They were really enjoyable to paint.
They're good looking miniatures. Yeah,
it comes with sort of cardboard terrain and tokens, and
I have no idea how it plays.
Nor do I really.
I'll try it out with you. Yeah, like, you know, the miniatures look nice. Again, like I don't know how it plays.
Yeah,
and the setting is what?
So settings in some other fantasy worlds. Currently, four factions. There's a sort of Japanese Oriental themed couple of warriors. There's a, probably my best description would be a Lord of the Rings style elf. So sort of very long armoured coats.
Yeah.
Though they're not elves, though, they're, I think they're humans. There's sort of desert nomads, so they look like flowing silk robes and things like that.
Kind of Egyptian. I'm just looking on their old Kickstarter, yeah. Actually. Very Egyptian-y looking.
Yeah,
I did see one miniature in the cabinet which looked very Egyptian inspired.
Yeah, and then there's the the four factions are these sort of dark elf demon factions, and then there's a load of monsters which are sort of NPCs you can play in the game as adversaries for both people, or they can be summoned in. So there's some Egyptian-y looking ones in there.
With the dungeon monsters, crawler, they're bringing out like Oni, which are playable as a faction of Oni.
Yeah, so there's an Oni faction, which I think they're the bad guys in the dungeon crawl.
Yeah.
And then you get another one or two models per the original four factions.
Okay.
So, and they're all backward compatible, apparently, and you can use, I'm not sure if you can use the old Kickstarter models in the dungeon crawl, but definitely backward compatible.
Yeah.
So, I'm
think
interested.
You probably can, from what he said, the way he phrased it.
Yeah, it sounds like it. The other sad thing, all the rules are free online. All the stat cards, everything. So obviously you can look at it before you actually buy into the game. I assume they'll probably do the same for the dungeon crawl. That is being done, I think, end of the month it starts.
Maybe, yeah.
So I'm planning to back that. I was really planning to anyway. Just because, again, the models are nice and I painted them pretty much non-stop from the moment I got them in.
So, like, sort of go back to the thing that I said about, like, skirmish games need a USP for me to, like, buy in. I don't know that this one's got that. I'd need to know more. Like, I had 2 minutes to look at it on the way out, so who knows. The models are nice, and some of them definitely were doing it for me, so to speak. You know, I love. I'm such a mark for Japanese themes. But yeah, because you've already got some models and the rules, I guess they're free.
Yeah.
I'll try it out, and I might get in a little bit. I'm sort of undecided. I'd quite like to paint them, but like I say, I've painted two models this year. We'll see.
I've read through the rules quickly and not played any games. So my hope this weekend was to try and get one of you guys sort of buying into it, but unfortunately they didn't have any actual stock here.
Yeah. Even if they had stock, you would have had a hard time getting me to buy it in on the day.
And me.
Yeah, well, if they did, I'd have probably pushed it a bit harder.
Yeah.
But the fact that I've got everything they've done so far.
Egyptian gargoyle thing curled up. That's a great model. I was just looking at that.
Yeah. They're nice. I'm very much up for like giving it a go, and I could definitely see myself buying some stuff, but just because of like the things that I've had going on the first quarter of this year and what could happen later in the year, you'd be hard pressed to sell me on stuff on the day. I will download the rules. Yes. I'll have a little look. I will play a test game with you, and I will investigate the. I do know which way I go. I don't need the sound map now. I'll have a little look on the website tonight, and I might pick some stuff up.
Yeah.
Just I'm on the day. I'm a bit like I don't want to carry anything around. I feel a bit sort of anxious about spending money, which you know whatever.
Yeah, because again, it's a skirmish game, so you only need to. Three or four models, it's not each model is again expensive, but you don't have to, it's not a huge buy-in. And for me, the way I play games is if the models appeal to me, I'll buy it. If the game doesn't sort of work, well, I won't ever play the game, but I had the fun painting the models, and that was worth the money for me.
And so, about the models, they're about 40 mil. Resin?
About 40 mil. They sort of say that it's like a custom resin formula.
It's definitely cast resin.
Definitely 100% cast. The models generally were pretty flash free.
And
there's a little.
Flexible.
A little bit of mold lines occasionally, but sort of. Understandable. But the models are almost very bendy. So, like I think you saw. One guy with his big sword, he literally bent the sword maybe 45 degrees and it just flexed back.
Yeah, so I didn't see anything particularly like, bent out of shape like you might with PVC, for instance.
Yeah, I think on my ones there's a couple of models which you just heat them up in some hot water, bend them slightly back into position. Fine, didn't take.
What I find works best with that also is to plunge them into like as cold water as you can. Bothered to sort out straight afterwards and hold it in there until it
But that's sort of standard resin, most people are used to that these days. They were all obviously the masks were 3D printed. There's a couple of places where you could see sort of the step lines, but
I mean, look,
again, no worse than you'd get from say Forge World.
I mean, if you look at Bushido models, every now and then you'll be like, oh yeah, I can see where the layer lines are. Some of them, like, you look at Eldest Brother, he's actually got an artifact, a horizontal layer artifact, like diagonally across his model, and it goes across his leg. It's a bit annoying, because I printed him. And sometimes you'll see, like, where supports were not fully removed before the master was moulded. Sometimes that's deliberate by me. Because sometimes it's more risky to clean up the support artifact than it is to let someone clean it up on the final cast, because you can file metal and you can file resin in a way that can be risky in certain situations on a 3D print. At least in the resin that I use, which is like really detailed but not that flexible.
Yeah.
So I'd rather not risk damaging the master and having to delay everything again, and then I would just allow sort of hand off to people like you're gonna file that anyway. That's where the mold line will be. You'll be fine.
Nothing during the normal cleaning up of a model you wouldn't get rid of. Perfectly happy with those. And the game, I think it's a D20 alternative activation.
Oh yes, so you were saying actually this might be a USP for me, but go.
So it seems to be some sort of if someone does something, your opponent gets a sort of a reaction against it. So it feels obviously, again, never played the game. Only read the rule book once as a sort of a quick read. It feels very inspired by Infinity. It doesn't have any of the complicated pages and pages of special rules. Yeah. It was just the D20, you crit on a 20, you react to people. That sort of stuff felt like someone's played Infinity in the past, liked it, and thought, well, I'll take these odd few bits and use that in our game, which, fair enough.
I love Infinity's core dice mechanic of, you know, the person who rolls, what is it, highest but under a number?
Yeah.
Will win the roll-off, and the crit is rolling exactly the number you need, I think?
Yeah, I think it's the same idea. It's, like, it's rolling low to succeed, which again, I know that can probably throw some people off, because usually high is better, but it goes all the whole, well, it's how you work out the numbers.
I think to a certain extent it can be about, as long as that is always the situation and not the exception, but I don't know. I remember like doing toughness tests or something with GW games being like, oh wait, you roll under for this one? Because it broke the normal paradigm. But I don't know. I kind of would like to play more Infinity, but I played like one game of, what was it, N4. And that was sort of it, because I've only got so much fucking space in my brain.
Yeah, again, I'd love to play more Infinity as well. I used to be hugely into it. I've got most of the factions and hundreds of models, but unfortunately it sort of died off a little bit locally. The new edition came out, and well, COVID happened pretty much the same time.
That's the problem, isn't it?
And just never played it.
And you've got Code 1, and I'm like, oh, that sounds great. I'd play that. You can't use the models you've already got then, because they won't be in the Code 1 boxes. That, I mean, it might have changed by now.
There's definitely a limited model set. Yeah. All the factions are available now.
Okay.
It's just sort of like there's one theme.
Sorry to interrupt. You've got a flashing red light on there. Does that mean something's happening?
Where? There. It's probably just charging it. I think that's just the power. It's probably been on the whole time.
All right, continue.
I don't know. Look, we're about 3 minutes away from my house, so... Yeah. That gives me an idea of how long we've been blathering on about anyway. So,
well, I can tell you, 1 hour and 47 minutes.
Alright, cool, that was my idea. Yeah,
so I think they're the main ones that I took away as things I want to backing up and backing and on Kickstarter and hopefully come in. It's almost unfortunate there's now two or three coming up pretty much in the same month, which is going to be expensive. So I'm hoping I'll be able to back all of them, but maybe I have to cherry pick one or two.
I think, like, I've got a little list of things I want to have a look at. You know, later on I made a little list of bits and pieces, took a couple of photos of things. So I'm not going to go into the L4 Chronicles yet,
which is
because I'll try it because I don't have to, because you've got it.
Yeah, and I'll
probably back that 54mm game in some capacity, because I like that he's trying something outside of the box, scale wise, and looked interesting with the cubes and stuff. So yeah.
So all in all, check out Celestial.
Whatever Celestial Affinity.
UK Games Expo was great fun again. You should go and check it out. Bushido Tournament was good fun, even though none of us won.
Airbnbs continue to be, you know, just that
a
just
special
that
thing,
sort of
a real special
expected
experience.
Level of dilapidation.
It's a nice blend. Yeah, it's probably
this
the best one we've
this
had.
This one, they didn't have a fucking HDMI cable plugged into the television, so we couldn't play Duck Game on the Steam Deck. Four players. That was very disappointing.
Yeah, sad trombone noises.
Yeah.
If you don't go to the UK Games, that's where you absolutely should.
I'm trying not to kill this delivery cyclist.
Buy toy soldiers.
Do that.
Blah blah blah.
Go to Mastercrafted Miniatures. Wait, what is it? Mastercrafted.co.uk. That's my site. Buy my things. Oh wait, no. Also, the store's closed for another week.
It'll be open by the time.
Congrats.
Gets
well done,
oh, you can buy stuff. It won't be shipped for at least a week, because I won't be there. Graham will be, but we've got some stuff we need to do from a like an organisational point of view that we need to do, and it's really hard to do when the store is also just like taking loads of orders that need to go out. So we need to just have a moment. All right, cool. Right, press stop.
Right. Ciao.
Later. Thanks for.
Find Robot Dice Explosion at robotdiceexplosion.com, at RDE_podcast at Twitter, and Robot Dice Explosion on Facebook.